weekly football podcast where we talk about football news, football scores,
football wallpaper.
Football wallpaper. I want to line my room with football wallpaper.
I've got computer wallpaper.
Whatever. We'll have both. Next week, it'll be computer wallpaper.
Oh, good.
This is the week of November 1st. Yeah. As usual, I'm your host, Sean Thomas.
I'm Dave Lenato.
I'm Rob Steller.
So we're going to start off with the scores of the weekend and the week. We had
league
matches. Yeah, we had league matches over the weekend, and then we had Champs League returning on during the week on Tuesday.
Was there Champs League?
I don't know.
I guess you just don't know what's going on. So we'll get into all those scores, and after that, the topic for the day is, in European play, do you support your league? So if you follow a Premier League team, do you support all the Premier League teams, or do you cheer against your rivals? It doesn't matter what league they're part of, it doesn't matter that they're part of your league, do you cheer against them? So I think that'll be a rousing argument. So let's get right into it. So we'll start in Germany. Germany had a fun weekend. So there was a new thing that happened. There was something different. Bayern Munich dropped 2 points.
Now they've done it.
It's basically, we know their season's over. I think this is the start.
They're not going to win.
Yeah, I mean, you might as well fire Pep. Get rid of all the players. They need a new... Yeah. Yep. I mean, who needs Müller?
We'll take them all.
Yeah.
Milan will be the charity case. So, and you can just give us. Yeah.
They drew to Frankfurt. It was 0-0, so it was a goalless draw. It means absolutely nothing.
Not a perfect season. That's what it means.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, they could still be invincibles, but they can't have all wins.
They're only 5 points ahead of Dortmund now.
I mean, so building on that, Dortmund won, Wolfsburg won. So I mean, they're still doing decently, but I mean, I don't know how you're going to catch this Bayern Munich team. The key is their depth and the quality of their play. It's just insane.
What was the year of the treble? You were looking this up. You messaged us this week, and you're saying they won the year they won the treble, which was...
I believe it was 2012, 2013.
They won by 25?
25 points.
25 points. Yeah.
So, I mean, they had 91 points, and Dortmund, which was in second place, had 66 points, I believe.
That's crazy.
I mean, it's just absurd. That's... can I do division really quickly? How many wins ahead is that? What's 25 divided by 3? 24 divided by 3 is 8. So that's 8 matches and a draw.
Nice.
That's insane. And actually, the funny thing is, they had a plus 80 goal difference.
Yeah.
So they had 98 goals, I believe, and like 18.
Didn't Madrid have over 90 points when they won?
We've both hit 100. Yeah. That's the most I believe we've had.
Pretty sure you've had like 100 goal differential.
Yeah, we did do slightly better, but still, like, it's still absurd. And I'm not even trying to brag, but we had like Messi. We had this, and the Munich teams were insane. But the fact that they do that and they didn't have a player who's considered one of the greatest of all time, same with Ronaldo, it's crazy. But anyway, Bayern Munich's just rolling. All the other teams are rolling, so they're keeping pace-ish. But dropping those points those couple weeks ago just doesn't help.
I mean, Bayern, like I said, Bayern's 5 points up on Dortmund and 10 points up on Wolfsburg, so...
Well, I mean, either way, they're showing their consistency, as we'll get into later. I mean, it's really all about Champs League play at this point. Yeah. I mean, I really, for all Bundesliga fans, I don't mean to be derogatory or just condescending, but it's just hard to see anyone else winning. I will say it is still fun to watch. They're still an incredible team.
Yeah.
And the way they still play...
The way they score goals is incredible.
Yeah, and their team, it's not like they're just... I mean, it's not like other teams are just letting them score.
Right.
They are just a good team. And we'll get into that with Champs League play. But either way, this is their one slip-up of the season so far, at least in league play. So I guess it kind of makes it interesting. They only had 2 shots on goal.
Wow.
That's really interesting.
Stat.
Like, they didn't...
Bayern had 2 shots?
Yeah. On goal.
Well, yeah.
Still, that's an interesting stat.
74% possession, not even 80. It's pretty terrible.
Slacking.
But either way, I mean, I'm sure they're just going to win again next week. So I unfortunately don't have much to report in the Bundesliga. So moving on to a league that there is a lot to report in.
France. So much to report in France. Other than the Benzema blackmail incident.
Oh, I didn't hear about this. What
happened?
Apparently, Benzema was blackmailing Matthew Valbuena
what?
For a sex tape that he was in.
Oh, man.
And, like, I mean, I don't know anyone that's been arrested for blackmail, so I'm not sure and like what the extent
the ramifications of it
but
are.
But apparently it's pretty serious. So they both got dropped from the France team for like the next international thing. Wow. Plus Euros is coming up.
Yeah.
That's a big deal.
And I mean, they both play for the same team. So it was a huge thing. That news is actually bigger than the league news.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because it also reminds me the last time there was like a sex scandal, I feel like it was it Ribéry who had sex or whatever, solicited services from a prostitute.
The
who's
French. Yeah. The French kiss.
So, I don't know. I guess it's 16.
Anyway. So, yeah, I mean, Benzema coming up with the
that could Euro be.
He could miss.
Valbuena's really good, too.
Well, not only that, but the Real Madrid. He isn't with the
is he dropped
Classico.
Though that? I don't actually know.
I don't think he... I'm not,
we'll
I don't
have
know.
To find that.
But yeah,
out.
I mean, it'd be
we'll look
to
that up
play.
For you, listeners. So
anyway, PSG won. They won 1-0, so nothing new there. Was a late winner by Di Maria, but they did beat Stade Rennes.
Raw.
Stade Raw.
There it is.
Anyway, actually, the other surprisingly, Monaco actually won again, 1-0.
Nice.
Marseille won 1-0.
Nice.
And Lyon actually won 1-0 as well.
There
so
you go.
The top, less, I would say, the top contenders are still.
Well,
still pretty Marseille.
10 points behind.
Yeah, Lyon is in second, 10 points behind.
Yeah, I mean,
PSG.
The league, you know, still PSG's. They still haven't lost yet. They've drawn twice. But, you know, obviously PSG's still got that in the basket.
So
nice. All right, let's move to Italy. So we had the Turin Derby between Juve and Torino. And Juve took that 2-1 with a late goal by Cuadrado in the 93rd minute, which is ridiculous.
They had Milan
they
now?
Should have. What?
They had a Milan now?
No, they're not.
Close, though.
No, they're not really.
They're coming for you.
All right, anyway. Fiorentina,
they're close.
Fiorentina had a big win, 4-1 over Frosinone. It was a good showing by them. Genoa and Napoli played out to a 0-0 draw. In the big game of the round, Inter played Roma 1-2 going into this match. And Roma had the possession. They had 60% possession. They outshot 19-10. 9 goals on target versus Inter's 3, but they could not find the back of the net. It was very, it was a physical game. It was very high intensity. It was a lot of fun to watch that game. Inter ended up taking it, so 1-0, which is puts them tied for first with Fiorentina in the standings. Milan versus Lazio, which also was a pretty decent game, although both of them were mid-table going into this. Milan coming off of 2 consecutive wins. Got a third, a big. This is the first time they've won by more than a goal all season.
Really?
Yeah, and I think it's the first time they scored 3 goals all season in a game. So they ended up winning 3-1. Bertolacci in the 25th. Mexes, first time subbing on this season.
Oh man!
Scores with his first touch. less than a minute after coming on, gets a header.
Phil's just—he knows what he's
doing. It was good.
Where
to see
does
him.
He pull that out from? I don't even get it.
He scores these. He had that bike goal last year.
Yeah, he does. Just randomly, he's like, you know what?
He scores ridiculous. So first touch of the season for him as a goal is good to see. He had a really good celebration. I don't know if you saw that too. Baca also came on. He scored in the 79th minute to put him up 3-0. Looked like we were going to get that clean sheet, which we haven't been able to keep. Recently, Kishna ended up scoring in the 84th. Donnarumma to his near post. Really should have gotten to it, but that's okay. He's 16 years old. Let's give him some credit.
So, okay, well, let's
this
quickly
is,
talk
so
about
So, Diego
that.
Lopez does have an injury. So, there's a little bit of questioning whether he was injured or whether Donnarumma was just preferred now.
Yeah.
Donnarumma, first of all, I don't know if you've seen this kid. He's like 6'6". He's a beast. He is a big kid.
I've heard he's a talented kid.
He's very good in the air. Very physical. He ended up knocking out Alex, which actually was pretty scary because like clean KO'd. He was coming out to punch the ball,
man.
And his knee caught Alex in the jaw and clean knocked him out. So I will say this game did come at a cost because Bertolacci, who also had a fantastic game, has been looking good this season, also went off. Now his thigh injury is going to be out for, I think, a couple months maybe. And so it seems like every time we get guys back in from injury,
yeah, somebody else goes out. Yeah, which is incredibly tough, especially when you don't have the insane depth of Munich or
something. It's big.
Like that.
But, you know, that's to say, Bonaventura so far has been the key player for us this season. He's dominated in the midfield. He's given his effort 100% of the time every single game he comes out. He set up two of the goals, absolutely beautiful passes to Baca straight through the middle and cut the defense in two. And I think he assisted Mexes's goal as well. Like, he assisted
That's
one
ridiculous.
Of the other goals. So he's been playing really well. That's good to see. Donnarumma's been stepping up, which is fantastic because he looks like if we can hold on to him and develop him as a keeper, I mean, he's going to be a good keeper.
How emasculating must it be for a 16-year-old? I mean, yeah, maybe he's injured, but then there's also that thought if he becomes preferred, maybe they'll pretend like Diego Lopez has an injury just so they.
I know,
but man,
I know.
And you know, Lopez has experience on some big clubs. I mean, he was last at Real Madrid.
Yeah.
And a 16-year-old. But, hey, he sounds like he's doing his job.
Good.
And
he's
I feel like
well.
A big thing is confidence.
Yeah.
When you're a kid.
He's got three straight wins his first three games. I mean, and this is the first time we've won three straight, I think, since Seedorf. I think had a three-game winning streak. And it's just good for the club in general. And, I won't dwell on this too much because I know we've got a lot of stuff to talk about. But it's big because we have Atalanta next week, which should be a fourth straight win, and then going into Juve, which
is
going to be a big match.
Is it Turin or Milan?
I'm not sure. I think it's away, but I'm not sure about that. But so my point is, we'll be on a hopefully four game. Although we have a tendency to blow up against smaller teams, but hopefully we'll go into a four game winning streak going into that game. So that'll be huge for us, confidence wise. That also put us up to tied for fifth with Sassuolo behind on goal differential and only 5 points out of the top now, which is big. So Roma losing
5 points out of the top
first place.
Sassuolo?
No. We're tied with Sassuolo on 19 points.
Okay.
So I'll round out the table here. So Fiorentina is on top with 24 points. That boost to their goal differential. They have 13 now. Inter now tied with them with 24. Roma slipping up has 23 now. Napoli with 22. Sassuolo, Milan with 19. Lazio with 18. And Juve is back with 16.
Where's Genoa at?
Genoa's in 14th with 12.
Nice. So this is, I mean, this is
surprisingly still. Udinese is down there too with 12 points.
I mean, it's still wide open.
It's close.
It keeps proving to be,
and,
there's
you know,
no clear winner.
Inter beating Roma just made that even more so, right? So
it's
just really, really entertaining season so far. It's thankfully it looks like Milan is starting to find form under Miha, and we're starting to click, starting to score goals, which is good.
And this is good because, I mean, well, you guys did make some good big buys over the summer, but it's still time to make get his team to gel.
It's still strange. Like Honda had that whole thing where he came out in the press and said some things, and it looks like he's going to be going maybe to England, which would be good for him. It's unfortunate because he was a key player last year and even in the first few games of the season, then kind of took a back seat in the midfield to Cherchi, which I disagree completely. Because Cherchi hasn't really done shit since he's been playing with us. So it's unfortunate to see Honda because I think he puts in a lot of work. And he's been subbed on in the last three games and like with 2 minutes to go. And I'm like, just slap in the face. Like, just don't sub him in at that point. Like, come on. Hopefully we can keep our injury list low. We start bringing some of these guys back. And once we get Menez back, who hasn't played this season. And
really?
Yeah, he hasn't played yet. And then also we'll get Balotelli back, we'll have some
Balotelli.
Serious.
You'll start to fall down the table once.
We'll have some serious power up top, so it'll be interesting to see this.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, if he can change his form, I mean, it'll be crazy.
He had a good start. He had a great.
He's
playing the Trequarista role now, which is good. So you have him, and then you have Baca and Cherchi, or Baca and Honda, supporting him, and it's pretty good top three. It's no, Messi, Suarez, and whatever, but it's getting there.
Yeah, and looking at the field, I think it's important to have a pretty good front three.
Yeah.
I mean, you can start scoring goals.
Yeah, all right.
So, moving on to Spain, it was kind of games as usual. So, Real Madrid started out by playing Las Palmas, who's a promoted team. They ended up winning 3-1. It wasn't... I mean, Madrid definitely were the better team, but there were some chances that Las Palmas had. They did better than I expected, and there's one deficiency. If there's one deficiency I see in Madrid, is it's hard to say. So their defense has held up extremely well in that they haven't conceded many goals at all, but they've had a lot of shots on target, mm-hmm. which makes me feel like there's a lot of good clearances, and Keylor Navas is just a beast.
He's having a phenomenal
season. It's absurd. I've said this before. I don't think they need De Gea at this point. And I think, you know, if they could save that money and, you know, keep Bale or whoever they're going to trade, I don't know what they were going to do. I mean, they might as well not, because Keylor Navas is doing really, really, really well. So he has been doing well. But so I can't say that the defense is deficient, because they just haven't let in very many goals. But at the same time, I mean, in this game, there were 5 shots on target, and that's a decent amount for a promoted team. And they had 1 goal. I mean,
it's big goal to score against.
Yeah. So, you know,
especially with Navas in the form that he's been in, that's a big goal.
And they had a few other chances too. So either way, I mean, Madrid is still rolling. They're still doing really well. They're scoring decently. Ronaldo had another goal. He's not scoring in bunches like you normally expect him to do, but now I would actually rather have this if I were a Madrid fan. You know, buckets. rather than seeing him score 5 goals in one game and then have a drought, him consistently scoring 1 goal, 2 goals, I mean, that's more important, getting those goals in and just having those wins. So they won. They're still top of the table with goal difference. So Barcelona played a little bit later in the day. We played Getafe. And we won 2-0. We had a Neymar goal and a Suarez goal. We're rolling as well. I think it's going exactly as we expected. I think there was some weird fear that without Messi, we wouldn't be able to score, which didn't make sense even though Neymar and Suarez are so good. But
they've done a good job at alleviating those.
And it's so equal. Neymar has really stepped up in that he's providing all the assists. Suarez is just a finishing beast. Every time he has the ball, if he's in the box, I don't know how he scores his goals. Like they almost seem really easy. Like these aren't the shots he's making. It's not like he curls to the top corner and gets it in. These are literally, he just shoots to the bottom left corner, bottom right corner, something like that. And it's just too fast for them to react. And it's perfect touch when he gets it. And so he ended up getting assist and Neymar scored. So it's, we're rolling as usual. I would like to see more goals, to be honest, but especially considering that we're down on goal difference. But in La Liga, unlike most leagues, the winner is determined, if they're deadlocked on points, the winner is determined based on head-to-head. And then goal difference is after that, whereas most leagues, it's goal difference first. So presumably Real Madrid will be at the top when we play, so they will be the ones that we have to beat. Now, I should also mention that Celta Vigo won late on. They actually, I almost feel bad because Moise's Sociedad, they're not great, but they've had some good results. Mm-hmm. And like last week, they had one of the biggest games, biggest lopsided wins with 4-0. So this week, it was 2-2, is deadlocked. And Celta Vigo is a really good team. But I believe in the 80th minute, 80th somethingth, I don't remember who scored, but someone scored, and Celta Vigo got the 3-2 win. So they're keeping pace as well. So I find it interesting. I never, ever, 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 and I think I speak for most people, would have seen Celta Vigo anywhere near where they are right now.
No,
so it's crazy. They're not even one of the traditional powers like a Sevilla, Villarreal, and we say this every week.
I didn't even know who they were before the season.
And did they like buy some guys?
I don't think so.
They have like Guidetti was the young guy for City. He's on their team. Yep. They have a couple other guys that were on bigger
Aspas.
Teams. Yeah, Aspas
but still
was on Liverpool.
Bringing those players together, it's really unusual.
But none of these are household names.
Though. Yeah,
no, but they're
they're
on top clubs. Yeah, clubs sure, but they didn't play for them.
No.
So either way, it's really cool to see that they're no joke. I mean, they beat us 4-1. So anyway, it's really cool to see them keeping pace. But in La Liga, the standings are still pretty much as we expected. But Clasico's coming up in a couple weeks. If you don't watch BN,
oh my god!
Anytime you watch a
28 days left, they started counting down. Oh, ridiculous! And it's not like it just flashes up. It's there
the whole time.
Oh, God.
It's there as long as the BN like logo is there. It's kind of ridiculous. So
crazy.
Looking at the table, Madrid and Barcelona are both on 24 points, with Madrid having 20 goal difference and Barcelona having 10. So that's pretty big.
It's going to be a good game. It's going to be a big, big... Where is it?
Actually, I don't know. I think it's at the Bernabeu. Okay. Because so we have a huge thing with our season is Barcelona plays a ridiculous number of away games in the first half of the season. We had to play Atleti away, Seville, I think, away. I think we played the Bernabeu. We had played so many big away games. So the first half of the season is going to be the hardest part by far. But looking at the table, Celta Vigo... So Madrid and Barcelona are on 24 points. Celta Vigo's on 21, so they're in third place, 3 points back. Atletico is at 20 points, and they're tied with Villarreal, who's also at 20 points, and they're just slightly ahead of Villarreal. So it's actually a decent race. It's just hard to see anyone breaking Madrid and Barca, so I don't know if it'll really work. But for Champs League spots, it's definitely going to be interesting. And who knows? Maybe teams will make a late game push, or a late season push.
Benzema did miss last game too, and he's going to miss probably until this is sorted out.
Madrid has actually had a lot of injuries this season. Some players are coming back, but James has been out for a while. Modric came back recently, and so those are really key players. Was one of their center backs out? I forgot. But either way, they've had to deal with some of those deep things with Benzema. It's still Real Madrid. So that'll do it for Spain. So
England.
Let's go to the big one.
We're over to England. I mean, the big game, I would say, it feels like every game is a big game in the Premier League.
Yeah, it's a good season.
Liverpool-Chelsea Saturday morning was, I think, one of the bigger matchups anyway.
Definitely.
And Liverpool ended up with a 3-1 win. What do you guys have to say about that game?
I think at the start of the game, so this is how I felt before the game. Chelsea is a terrible team right now. I mean, there's clearly they're just terrible right now. But the one team they did solidly beat was Arsenal. And everybody's like, how did they beat Arsenal? There's something in my head thinking, I don't know how they're going to pull it out of their ass and they're going to beat, they're going to beat Liverpool. Somehow they're going to show up, I don't know why, in this game. First couple minutes, I think it was like the 6th minute, they scored, and it looked like, to me, I thought Chelsea looked good, and so I was like, this is what's going to happen, they're going to destroy Liverpool, and this is it, and
you were wrong.
Liverpool looked good. They were on the offensive the whole time. They would press, they're doing what Klopp wants to do. They're definitely not there, but what ended up happening, I think this was very much a momentum turner. It was 1-0 for most of the first half. Then at the very end of stoppage time in the first half, Coutinho pulls some magic out, which apparently he can just pull out at will.
Yeah.
He danced around a defender, and then he just curled a shot in the corner, and that was it, and it was 1-1. And Liverpool never looked back after that. They scored two more. I think, was it Benteke?
Benteke had the last one.
Yeah. And I forgot. Coutinho had another goal, right?
Yep.
First I should say, I am an Evertonian, but oddly...
You'd rather see Jose lose.
Well, okay, there's a mix of things. I do not like Mourinho. I am very outspoken about that. I don't like Mourinho. The other thing is, I really like Klopp, which I'll talk about in a second, but I really like him, and I want him to succeed. And honestly, just for, being a football fan, I'd like to see Liverpool be a real team again. It's insane how poor they've been.
I hate Liverpool.
I know, but it's...
I do like Klopp, though.
No one likes Liverpool. All right.
That's true. I don't even know why I'm saying this. You know what? Screw
Everyone
Liverpool.
Likes Man
you know,
U.
You know, what's interesting, though, is despite all that's going on, the fans still are very much behind Mourinho. There were a lot of signs out during the game that said
you could hear them
the one and all this stuff, and I think they chanted him even despite the loss and stuff.
I don't know. I can understand the board, maybe, but I'm surprised that the fans are. If I were a fan...
Fans usually are the first to turn.
Yeah, exactly. Especially after these kind of results. Yeah. And the thing is, the difference is Mourinho is also... He hasn't been his normal controlled self. He hasn't really done well in the press. So, normally he can do these quips where he's hilarious. So you just support him. But right now...
Oh, actually.
He's in a weird
place. His press conference after this game.
Oh,
did you see it?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. He basically just... I have nothing to say. And it was hilarious because this was the post match. This wasn't the post match press conference. This was the post match, in that room when they're walking down the hall. And the interviewer, I don't know his name, but he just kept asking questions because he had to ask
him
something.
The best response was the guy asked him, do you think some people are calling for your, you know, fire or whatever. Are you worried? And he's like, the fans are not stupid.
Yeah, exactly. Not stupid. Truth is, there's only one person that can decide this. It doesn't matter what the fans think. It doesn't matter what the quote-unquote board thinks. It doesn't even matter what the players think. Abramovich is the one and only person that matters.
Yeah.
If he decides he wants to axe Mourinho,
and
he's
usually very quick to fire coaches.
Yeah. I think the thing is, it still is Mourinho. As big as most other coaches are, even when you think of like big coaches like, Ancelotti.
Yeah.
Mourinho has this different air about him that you feel like you just don't want to fire
him. It's also, you know, do you think there's just fear of, hey, if I fire Mourinho, no coaches are going to feel comfortable here?
You know, I actually don't think that only because
Mourinho is essentially untouchable as a coach.
But I feel like that's how it's been at Chelsea for a long time now.
Right.
And secondary, I mean that they've always felt that you might have a short period of time.
Right.
There.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, if you fire Mourinho mid-season, which nobody has done.
But that's what I'm saying. I don't. Every coach is under that pressure at Chelsea. I feel like they're that.
Yeah, that's true.
And the only other thing is Mourinho hasn't just done kind of poorly. They've had an incredible drop, like unprecedented drop. Yeah. Mourinho's never done this before. So I think people feel like the writing is on the wall. I feel like coaches are like, you know, sharks. They smell blood in the water. They want to see if they can be the coach at Chelsea. Mm-hmm. So I also, and on the flip side, I don't know if you guys saw the post-match for Jurgen Klopp. I mean, I just, this guy's awesome. I mean, it also helps that his command of English is great, so he can talk really well. But a couple things he said. They asked him about Mourinho. One thing he said, and he's probably being honest, you know, if you're not part of the press or like you're not a journalist or something like that, he's actually a pretty nice guy. And he said, I don't think there's anyone in this room who wouldn't agree that Mourinho is one of the best coaches in the world right now. But you know what? He's going
through
a spell.
It's hard not to love Klopp.
Yeah.
It really is.
And he said exactly. He goes, I had the same thing last year at Dortmund, but I knew that the board backed me, so I never felt that pressure. So Mourinho, it's different, but he's like, I can't talk for him, but, you know, people go through the spell.
Yeah.
And then the other thing he said, they asked him, so do you think Liverpool is going to win the league? He immediately said, he just laughed. He goes, you know what? Please, I've been here for 3 weeks. He said the last time Liverpool won away was before I came here or something, like I was on vacation or something. Like, it's been a while, clearly. Yeah. He goes, you know what? What we're going to do is we're going to check off this game. This is a win, but we're going
to
look at next week.
Yep.
We still have a lot to
do,
and that's
it.
Important.
Yeah. Sean's got a man crush.
Yeah, I do. Oh, my gosh. Because, and you can tell he has
Klopp or Pep, Sean.
Klopp or Pep.
What if Klopp,
comes to Barca? Ben, who is it, man?
So, I mean, Klopp is great, though. And you can clearly tell, and it sounds like the board feels this way, too. This is a long-term project. This is not the end. This is not where he wants to be. They need to grow, and he's going to build something there.
All right, what are the other games besides this one?
The other game, a couple games, bigger games. Man U drew Palace 0-0. That was a very boring game for Man U
fans.
Yeah,
that was uninspired.
Wasn't much to it.
It was disappointing to see that from United because it looks like they were starting to become more creative and creating chances and things like that.
And these are the games
just
you
kind of got
to win.
You never know what to expect from them.
Yeah.
At this point,
I would agree with it. I think that represents their season right now. You really don't know what's going to happen with them, and you can't definitively say they're a bad team or a good team because sometimes they look really good and sometimes they just look really average. So, and it feels like that's representative of Louis van Gaal. That's all I can say. And as legendary as he is, as many clubs he's been at, I don't know. I don't see what he's building. I don't know what he's doing. And I don't feel like the players love him. I think players will play for him. It's not like the Moyes situation, but I don't feel like they love him. Obviously, like Fergie or, you know, Klopp or something like that.
So 0-0 draw there. City actually got a late winner against Norwich, which was huge. PK in the 89th. Newcastle Stoke drew 0-0. Arsenal won again, 3-0 against Swansea. So they're moving up.
I mean, it's
staying up.
Yeah, Arsenal's doing well, which is, I guess, good to see.
Watford beat West Ham 2-0.
That was big for West
Ham. Pretty big upset there, I guess. And then Leicester actually came back and won 3-2 against West Brom.
Yeah, Leicester. Staying up.
That was
there.
Saturday's game. Staying Sunday, you know, there's Everton romping of Sunderland's destruction.
I mean, Sunderland's been pretty poor, no, but yeah, still. Having any six goals. Is pretty awesome.
And Kone was I mean, he doesn't play a lot,
but he's been
solid. I feel
solid.
Like he should, because whenever he does.
I don't actually know why he doesn't play more.
Whenever he plays, he always seems to, you know, do something.
Super sub.
Yeah, this game, I think he had a hat trick. Yeah, he did. And he had, I think, an assist or two.
I'm not sure. I think De La Feu scored. I think Lukaku scored. I mean,
they did
really well. I mean, this is what I expect. But admittedly, it is Sunderland.
Still, six goals to six goals.
Yeah. So
and
it's
then,
good to see.
Southampton beat Bournemouth 2-0 on Sunday. Tottenham won against Aston Villa on Monday 3-1. Harry Kane seems to be back scoring some goals.
That's good to see. Yeah. He's a good kid. Like I don't like seeing players drop off like that. Yeah. And he clearly has talent, so it's good to see.
It was
him
just a matter of time,
back.
I think.
Yeah.
That was really it for the scores. So the table, you know, it's starting to take some form, I guess. City and Arsenal are both up top at 25 points, tied. City's got 17 goal differential versus 13. And then 3 points behind them are Leicester City.
Yeah,
still.
A little Leicester.
Man U is at 21 in fourth.
Dropped a couple points.
Tottenham's in fifth with 20. Mm-hmm. West Ham is the other team at sixth with 20. And then it kind of drops off. Southampton. Liverpool, you know, this decent run they've been going on, they're still, you know, they're at 17 points, so they're 8 points back.
Well, I mean, they're 4 points out of the Champions League.
I don't think title, really it's not worth going for the title. And we kind of talked about this last
time. If Klopp can get Champs League, that would be a success.
And do you think they'd want Champs League, or they want to focus on the league next year and hopefully Champs
League?
You
always want Champs
League.
Yeah, Europa at least.
I guess,
that's how you sign players.
Yeah. That's pretty much it. I mean, at the bottom of the table, Newcastle, Sunderland, and Aston Villa. I think that'll kind of sort itself out, too. I think Bournemouth and City are going to fall back. Chelsea's right now at 15th. They're 4 points out of the drop. But, I mean, as bad as they've been, they're eventually going to move.
They're not going to get dropped.
We say every single week.
Yeah.
What if
they're not
going to
get
relegated?
They're not going to get relegated.
What if they did?
They're
oh
not.
My gosh. If they got relegated, that
that'll be our topic next week.
That would be
that
hilarious.
Would tarnish Mourinho's record. Yes.
Yes. No, that would. But.
That's pretty much it.
All right, so you want to move to Champs League?
Let's do that.
All right, so there are a bunch of big results and matchups.
Milan won.
You're funny.
No, they lost.
Well, the technical.
Oh, no, wait,
they
drew.
All right, can we just?
Oh, wait a minute.
Can I get to the scores, please? Madrid dropped points to Astana. I think it is
Atletico Madrid.
Madrid. Yes. Real Madrid played against PSG. Ended up winning 1-0. I don't know if you have any comments on that game.
I do. PSG looked really good.
They did.
The goal by Madrid was Nacho. This ridiculous angle. Of the keeper maybe shouldn't have came out.
Nacho.
It was
Nacho Libre.
It's really disappointing because
no one saw that coming.
I mean, the group is still going to work out as we expected, but PSG, I really think, could have beat Madrid this game and possibly last game.
Yeah.
They're just not taking the chances. There's some good saves
and they
by
had
Taylor,
chances.
But it,
Ibra had a couple decent chances. And,
Di Maria had chances. Cavani had chances.
Yeah.
The cool thing to see, though, is Real Madrid is one of the top contenders. They're one of the early favorites. And if PSG can be this strong versus them, I think, I mean,
but if this was knockout and they're not getting the result at the end
but
of the day,
I
that's all that matters.
I almost feel like maybe in the knockout stages they might have more energy.
Or
don't
they
know.
Might not be playing Madrid, right? So they were not going to be
then
playing.
They get two legs.
But if, like, you can, if you can basically be the better team to Real Madrid, I think you can go further.
We'll see.
We'll see. But I think the other weird thing is, and I mean, this isn't even the Barcelona person in me coming out, but Madrid didn't look that great.
No,
I don't know.
They didn't.
So I'm a little surprised. But honestly, it's early on. Who knows? And still trying to figure out what Benitez is doing. And he's heavy on defense. So whatever. They won. That's all that matters.
Man United got a 1-0 win against Moscow.
Yeah.
Rooney ended his drought. Any comments on that game?
Rooney.
Thank you for that.
I
mean,
they played pretty well. They definitely played better than they did at the weekend.
They needed
to, Rooney could have scored a bunch of times. I don't know. I think he's just pressing hard to try to score, and he's just like rushing. Like a couple of these chances
he had, a lot of point blank chances.
Dzeko would have finished a lot of these chances. And I just feel like eventually he got this one. I think that kind of eases the pressure off, and they'll probably poke it.
Hopefully it'll do good for him.
Do you think Van Gaal will ever drop him, kind of like Mourinho did?
He's not a droppable. He's not a droppable player. And the thing is if you watch...
He's still captain,
yeah. If you watch the Man U games, like just because he's not scoring...
Doesn't mean he doesn't help.
Right. Yeah. And if you look at him on... Every free kick I've seen recently, he'll line up over the ball, and he isn't taking the free kick. So he's giving them to Depay. He's giving them to Mata. He's like a really – he's turned into this big – you know, he's a captain. He's turned into this team player
where
he's just helping everybody else regardless of himself. Which
Rooney's
the
old man already. I don't know how that
happens. I know.
Well, he's what, 29?
Yeah.
He still has considering his talent, you know.
Yeah.
There's no buckets there, Sean.
Also, that group is very
close. We'll get
to that.
Yeah. So, Juve ended up drawing against Mönchengladbach 1-1. City with a big 3-1 result over Sevilla.
Yeah, and they looked good. City, you know, that seals their top of the table and them going through, or going through. I don't know if it seals them as top of the table, but it's looking good for City. I mean, that wasn't the It wasn't the hardest group. It wasn't the easiest group either.
No, but considering their performance in Europe competitions, this is it looks good. It looks like they're on the right track. Probably in the most entertaining match of the week, Roma against Bayer Leverkusen.
Every time this match is crazy. Every time
3-2, back and forth. I think Roma went up two goals before giving up two, and then did they go down? No. And then they ended up scoring.
Leverkusen
the
was down 2-0, and you just thought, look at Roma, they're going to roll. Yep. And it was early on, and then Leverkusen got two goals back. Chicharito scored the second, and then late winner from Roma. And actually, if I remember correctly, I think it was a PK, and it was a good it was like a fair PK, because basically one of the Leverkusen players, basically a Roma player, had an open goal, or he was right there and he was going to score, and the Leverkusen player just pushed him because he's just
might
like, screw
been
it.
Salah, I think
he scored the first. I think he
was the one who won the PK though.
But either way, it was just funny to watch because the Leverkusen player literally just shoved
him. He's also having a really, really good season with Roma this year. Barca getting a 3-0 win over Bate. Any comments on that?
No, it was just solid win, good assist.
Expected
Bate,
win.
So it's just rolling. But.
In the other big matchup besides PSG Madrid, Bayern versus Arsenal.
I mean, did anyone expect Arsenal to win again? This is the second time they've won versus Bayern Munich. It's insane.
So probably not expecting to get the win, but at least showing good performance, especially considering they're top of the table. It did not happen. Bayern was pissed off at the last result. 5-1
win
over
Arsenal.
Beat
Bayern Munich in a two-legged match.
Steamrolled.
Just
over.
Hope to God you don't play them at the Allianz.
No, and Bayern showed their true form, I think.
And it wasn't one of those games where they got the early goal and then Arsenal equalized. Although I will say, Özil scored one that was called a handball. It was off
it
his shoulder.
It definitely was a handball.
So
it definitely was.
But
a
it went in the goal. It got by Sawyer. But so
he did get carded for that.
It wasn't one of those things where it was 1-1 early on and then late on they scored a bunch of buckets.
Constant
was,
threat by Bayern.
And Munich, the way they scored the goals, like I think the third goal was Alaba, just left back. He's like, you know what? I'm just going to walk in. He
was that the top corner shot?
I think he curved it.
He curved it top corner.
He danced around. I forgot who was defending him. And it's like everybody, at the last goal, Douglas Costa, I mean, this is the end of the game. They've already clearly won. It's 4-1. He just has this burst of speed. He just burns by them, and he is so fast. I mean, he was a great pickup. Munich, just absurd. Some of the goals by Müller, like Robin, his first touch of the game, or like his first 5 minutes or something like that, he scores. Wasn't an easy shot, but, you know, he's just coming from the left side. Nice pass in. Robin, first touch.
Yeah.
It's just absurd. Arsenal had no answers. Giroud, though, I will say, he had a really good goal. He pulled it down from, I think, Alexis Sanchez.
They let him have that one.
Neuer had, I think, a good save or two. Cech had some good saves, but, I mean, this was Munich's game through and through. Yeah. The shots total, it was like something in the 20s or something. It was Munich.
So, interestingly enough, Chelsea getting win 2-1 over Dynamo Kiev. Big result for Mourinho.
So it was 1-1 early on.
Yeah, it was nerve-wracking.
It was a pretty bad own goal that Kiev scored on themselves, mm-hmm. I thought. Basically, it was a cross in, and they headed it right into the goal. A keeper couldn't do anything about it. But then they equalized. The same player, the defender who let in the goal, he was the one who scored. It was pretty good.
Made up for it.
But Willian, really good free kick. But
saved them.
Yeah, he saved him. So I don't know. Chelsea should be doing better. But whatever, they got the win, I guess.
And then we had Valencia losing to Ghent 1-0.
Yeah, I don't even know where Ghent's from.
Poor result for Spain.
La Liga.
Yeah,
losing
is not the best. Nope.
So, I mean, you look at it, two wins. One was barely a win. One team was, I mean, we played Bate, so whatever. Atleti, we'll talk about this in our topic, but Atleti drew. Valencia lost. Yep. Seville lost. Yep. So not a good week for Spanish teams.
Yep,
for sure.
And then St. Petersburg getting a 2-0 win over Lyon. So let's look at the tables real quick. In Group A, we have Madrid on 10 points, PSG with 7, Shakhtar with 3, Malmo with 3, pretty much as you expect. Group B, interesting group.
Yeah,
Man United.
Is definitely the most up in the air group. And this is probably the only group all four teams could
yes.
still get out.
So Man United with 7, Eindhoven with 6, Wolfsburg 6, and Moscow with 4.
And all the goal differentials are within one goal.
Yeah, I mean, so two games left to go, so that's wide open. Benfica in Group C, top of that group with 9, Atletico with 7, Galatasaray with 4, and Astana with 2. Looks like, you know, Madrid and Atletico and Benfica will be advancing from that group. D, we have City on top of the group over Juventus, 9 and 8, and looks like they'll be advancing. Sevilla with 3 and Mönchengladbach with 2. So, you know, as expected, City and Juventus coming out of that. Group E, Barcelona with 10 points, have not lost yet in Champs League. Roma with 5, Bayer Leverkusen with 4, and Bate with 3. So Roma still has work to do to get out of
that
group.
Yeah, a little surprising.
So let's move on to F. Bayern Munich with 9, Olympiakos with 9, Dinamo Zagreb with 3, and Arsenal with 3. So Arsenal is
actually
probably out.
Dude,
probably.
I was looking at it. They're actually have the most with, if you look at the points here, right?
Yep.
9-9-3-3. You're like, oh, they're out.
No,
but
they're not. They could
go
in.
No, they have like a really good chance.
They have to. Well, they
Bayern
play,
plays
they
Olympiakos.
Okay.
All right. I mean, you got to figure Bayern
well,
should be.
It's
going
to come down to Arsenal right. Olympiacos. That's going to be the game.
Right. So that's what I mean. Arsenal, if they can't beat Olympiacos, then they're not going to get in. But if they beat.
Well, they need 6 points, so they have to win the last two
yeah,
games.
Yeah, but
they're
they
playing
have to
Zagreb.
Play Zagreb, which they should have a win. Okay. And then they play Olympiacos. And that, but they have to get a win by. And the,
brother
it going. Also I depends mean, on how much Bayern beats, assuming Olympiakos doesn't draw
yeah,
Bayern.
Unless Arsenal it. Wins by like one goal and right. Olympiakos loses by one goal each
right.
game, then Arsenal has a decent chance.
And
it's not great, but it's...
Because they're going to get
not,
out of the
they're
group.
They're not out yet.
Right.
They'll get out of the group, and then they'll be paired with Real Madrid and lose in the first stage.
Yeah.
They'll be paired with Barca,
yeah,
and then they'll beat them first stage.
But there'll still be points, though, in the UEFA coefficient, which we're going to talk about later.
Oh, that's a good point.
So anyway, so let's just wrap
point
this up.
Point for Rob.
Group G, Porto with 10. Looking good, Porto. No losses in that group.
Porto.
Chelsea with 7, so it looks like they might get out. Dinamo Kiev.
Dinamo.
With 5. And Tel Aviv with 0. So it's going to come down to Chelsea and Kiev.
Yeah, and so Chelsea could end up second, which this is supposed to be a pretty easy group. I mean, Porto is the only
going into this. You would have expected
Portuguese
Chelsea
power.
To run away, but Porto's looking very strong. And then finally,
Porto usually does very
they
well.
Do.
In
they
Champions
do
League.
Well in Europe. Yes.
I mean, I don't know why I keep saying this. It's Chelsea right now. They're terrible. There's no
Group H. Zenit St. Petersburg running away with 4 straight wins, 12
this
points.
This group is such like
Valencia with 6, Ghent with 4, and Lyon surprisingly with 1 point.
Ooh. Wow. So it sounds like Valencia could make it out.
Yep. They
even
should.
Playing
they
poorly.
Absolutely should. Yeah.
So.
All right. So real quick, just looking to next weekend. We have one more week before another, sadly, international break. We have Roma and Lazio next weekend, which is going to be a pretty big match. And then we have Stoke and Chelsea, which you would not consider a big match. But Chelsea, like, this is a beatable Stoke team. Granted, it's away at Stoke.
We
so
just
we'll
said
say,
the words a beatable Stoke team
yeah.
when we're talking about
Chelsea.
Chelsea,
yep. I think the big games, though, are going to be Barca, Villarreal, and
yep.
Sevilla and Madrid.
So
yeah, and Arsenal, Arsenal Tottenham is
yes,
also Sunday, too. That'll be decent.
So That'll do it for the first half. Catch us after the break where we start talking about our topic.
Kiss the Crest is part of the Commentist Network, which is a collection of great podcasts covering a wide range of topics, from tech news to music to Dungeons and Dragons to veganism and positive living. For more information about Kiss the Crest or to check out our other great shows, go to thecommentist.com.
Okay, welcome back. We're going to go straight into our topic of the day, which is, in European play, when you're playing in Champs League, do you support teams that are in your league to kind of support your league, or do you cheer against your rivals just because they're your rivals, you hate them? So, Rob, what's your opinion on this?
Okay, so let me back up. So let me explain the UEFA coefficient, right? So basically what this is you get points for competing in these tournaments. Countries get points for having clubs that compete in tournaments like the Champions League and the Europa League. And they get all these points together, and at the end of the year, you have every country has a point total, and that total ends up determining how many spots you have in Champs League based off the last 5 years, right? So the top three countries with points get 4 places. The next 3 or 4, I believe, get 3, and then from there on, it's 2, and then most countries only have 1, right? And so recently, Italy lost their, I think it was...
Oh, we should also mention this coefficient isn't just for last year. It's
last five years.
So it's important to have
the total of the last 5 years.
Yeah, so it's important to have consistently good results over time.
So you get points by winning games and playing in games in these competitions, and then you get bonus points for reaching later stages, and you get big bonus points for reaching later stages in the Champs League. So basically, you want teams from your country to go farther in order to eventually get points to get spots in Champs League and Europa League, right? So recently, I forget how many years ago exactly, maybe 5 years ago or so, Italy, I think Germany ended up getting more, they like surged up and they ended up getting a higher coefficient. They took one of the spots from Italy. So recently, Italy's only had 3 Champions League places, which is big because I think Milan finished 4th like the next year.
Yeah.
And we missed out on Champs League. Or something like that. You know, that's how it works, right? So Italy has been doing pretty well the last couple of years. Actually, last year specifically.
Yeah,
they did really well in Europa League, and they had a couple teams go farther in Champs League as well.
I mean, Juventus went to the final.
Yes. So they ended up with 19 points for the year, and the only country that's higher is Spain. Basically, Spain is untouchable. So their total points right now are 91. Germany's in second with 71. England has 69, Italy has 65, and then Portugal has 48. So what's interesting about this, though, is that in the next year or two, if England continues to not do well in Europe and Italy can have 1 or 2 more strong seasons, then Italy can take one of those spots away from England, which is big because England's the top followed
league in the world.
Yeah. And
it's most watched, probably.
Right, and I think a lot of people don't understand how this system works. They just assume, top 4 teams go into Champs League, right?
And so, I don't think people realize this is very possible. I think a few years ago, the assumption would be, somebody in the Premier League is going to win or something's going to happen. But it's been pretty consistent, and I don't really see anybody yet that can really get that far. Admittedly, I didn't think Juventus was going to make it to the final last year, but they did. So that's pretty big. So they really could take that spot away.
So the reason why this is related to this conversation is because clearly I'm a hardcore Milan fan, and I very much hate Inter Milan, and especially over the last few years have grown to very, very much hate Juventus.
Yeah.
Because they've dominated. And normally, no matter who they're playing against, I root against them. I don't care who's playing. Like, I don't care who it is.
Logical.
Right. I just don't want them to win ever.
Ever.
But knowing that we have an extra Champions League place at stake, and knowing that Milan is not at the place yet to contend for top 3, probably, although they're pushing now. But, like, this is a perfect example of a year, right, where we might end up in 4th, and we're going to miss out on Champs League because we don't have that last spot. So anyway, so this leads me to coming into this really big moral dilemma.
Yeah.
Where Juventus, like last year, made a push in the Champs League. And as much as I hate them, I need them to go far and get bonus points for us so that we can get that fourth spot back, because at the end of the day, that might be how we get into Champs League.
And I mean, it's such an awkward position to be in, but how could you not? And even as like a little add-on too, since you're also a fan of the Italian national team, Juventus has a number of Italian players. If yes, they're doing
that's,
well,
that's a big piece.
That also represents
so that's
too.
That's a big piece of it, especially in Spain, right, where you have half of your team playing for Madrid, right?
Yeah.
And so when during World Cup, you're going to cheer for Spain, and half of those players you hate 99% of the time.
You know, I think, I mean, there probably already has been a book, but I think one of the most interesting eras will be that time, because the
I think that's the case for most, though.
That happens like, a lot, but I could be wrong, but I feel like there was an unusual amount of disdain for each other.
I
will say one thing, like Mourinho did heighten some of that, and they really didn't like each other, the Messi versus Ronaldo rivalry. And the other thing is they won nonstop, and like people, and there were a lot of firebrands on both teams that would not fit with each other, but whatever. I don't want to get into all that too much, but, so you make a solid point about coefficients and the fact that you kind of want to support your team because you want those spots. Now, I mean,
this affects you a little bit less because you know that Barcelona's not going to fall out of the top three. It's very unlikely
right now
you're going to fall outside of the top three. And so that fourth place is not that bad. Plus, you built up so many points over the last few years.
Exactly.
You're not in danger of losing them anytime soon.
So even if we got in fourth, so I think that would be good. So I agree. Maybe my opinion would be a little bit different if we were in that situation. For me, and the reason why I asked this, so this is my topic, the reason why I thought about it is because, to me, everyone always considers the Premier League the gold standard of football, and that they are the best league in the world. It's pretty much undisputed for so many people. Well, for us, because we watch so much English speaking news, media, things like that. Outside of England, they may not feel the same way, but everything I hear is always the Premier League is the best. At worst, it is the most competitive. And a lot of people argue the reason why Barca and Madrid can do what they do is because they play really poor teams. They just destroy them week in, week out. And to me, sometimes I will support other Spanish teams and maybe sometimes even teams like Real Madrid because I want to prove that Spain isn't just playing bad teams. They just are better. And it's also not just Barca and Real Madrid and Atletico Madrid. I mean, the fact that we've consistently won in Europa League. And there was, how long ago? When it wasn't that long ago where it was close to being an all-Spanish final in Champs League and Europa League. It didn't happen like that, but it was close. And so things like this, I will say I do not hate the Premier League by any means. I really like the league, but I feel like most fans of the Premier League are they're cocky about the league. And my argument is, I think La Liga is a lot better than people realize, and that's why I sometimes support other teams.
Of course, they all slipped up. Well, a lot of them.
Yeah, this weekend was not good. And it goes other ways, too. Yeah, if they're not doing well, you know, you might not do well. This, by the way, the same goes for Ligue 1, the Bundesliga. There's always this, especially the Bundesliga and PSG, the Bundesliga and Ligue 1, people say that Bayern Munich is just playing easy teams, same thing with PSG. But if other teams are beating other clubs, I mean, you have to argue that they do have solid teams. It's just the top teams are that much better. That's my base argument. I think the reason why Real Madrid, Atletico, and Barca get so far ahead is because they're just that much better right now.
I kind of said this already, but I always come into this more. Every time Juventus or Inter, you know, especially those two teams, like Lazio, I don't mind cheering for. Napoli, I don't mind cheering for in Europe.
Yeah, I will say
that's not as bad. But like Inter is a team I just can't have a passionate hate for.
It's literally impossible to do.
But it's just like, I need them to win.
Yeah. It's more egotistical for me. It's just the fact that like, I still don't mind Real Madrid losing, but there's a part of me that just wants to be like, well, clearly they're the best.
You're also not in danger of losing a spot.
Yeah, so I'm not. Yeah.
I mean, I'm kind of, you know, I obviously root for Man U, but I'm not really into the whole coefficient, you know, thing yet until it happens. But
well, so you, it's so interesting you say this though, because if you lose a spot and Man U finishes in fourth, you're not in Champs League.
Listen to this. So you're talking about that this year, right?
Yep.
The only two teams in Champs League this year are Roma and Juve, and Yes. All their other teams got knocked out. So,
but if Juve has a good run and...
Well, that's what I mean. So you need... And Juve, you know, has kind of fell off, I think, a little bit.
That's very true.
So, I mean, granted, the Premier League teams haven't really been doing that good.
Juve's
anyway.
Going to make it through.
Yeah,
but they haven't. They don't look like they can make the run.
If you look at it, Juve and Roma are the only two teams that can make it through. I mean,
sure, but we still have
all the Premier League teams, minus maybe Arsenal, will get through. So that's like
four. I would agree. I think the Premier League looks in better position right now.
I mean, it definitely can happen over the next couple of years, but it's not going to happen this year. Maybe, I doubt it'll happen next year. I mean, they'll really have to have this big fall off from England, and it, you know, typically with Klopp being a Liverpool team.
It's not that, though. It's that England teams also need to perform well. And we got a lot of points last year from Europa League because I think we had three teams that made late runs in Europa League.
See, but they said the Europa League apparently isn't. Like the point system's completely different because the Europa League
you get extra points for Champs League, but you still get points.
But,
for
look at the teams in Europa League. I mean, even you, Sean.
Yeah, but
the
third place team in the groups go to Europa League,
right?
So
my point is that you're talking about Spain winning the Europa League, right? You look at these teams that are in the Europa League right now: Molde, Fenerbahce, Celtic. Sion, Bordeaux, Rubin Kazan, Krasnodar.
But that makes my point even better because
it doesn't. Because you're beating all these teams that.
But the Premier League can't you beat those teams?
My point is the Europa League spot in England could be a different team every year.
It could be, but you would think that the fifth place team in the Premier League, considering how good it is, could easily destroy all these teams. I think Chelsea was the last team that won Europa League, which when you're a club of Chelsea's stature, that's you don't count.
Atletico was in Champs League the year they won Europa.
Yeah.
But that must have been a long time
ago. You get knocked down. If you're third place,
but Atletico won Champs League a long time
ago. So Europa League, as much as you guys are putting all this, the Spain's are
but
Europa
still
League.
Affects it.
No, no.
It still affects the coefficient, though.
How does
not
this
as
not
much
work?
Not as much as you think it does. Champs League affects it a lot more than.
But no,
Europa
no.
League
my
does.
Point is, it's more proof that if Premier League teams can't even beat these lower level teams, if Tottenham and Everton and whoever else gets into that point, they can't beat what these teams that you're saying. How could you really argue that they're that much better than all these other teams? I think it's this built up idea that the Premier League, and they have been great for decades, but honestly,
and right now
it's been a
they're
long
on
time
exactly.
Since
and they still got the spots. I mean, Liverpool's been awful the past few seasons. Chelsea's had a real fall off this year. Man U hasn't done well. So, I mean,
but they also have more money than every other league, and everyone always argues that every other league they're playing crap teams. There's only two teams in La Liga, and I see what that means, but I think that's also because they're so much better than every team. It's not because every other team sucks. I honestly think if a lot of teams below, and I have to. Let's take out Atletico Madrid as well. If you look at 4 through 6, if you put them in the Premier League, I think they do a lot better than people realize.
I think you don't also realize how close the coefficient is between Italy and England right now.
Yeah, but all right,
after this, listen.
Say Man U, Man City, Arsenal, and Chelsea all got knocked out of Champions League, but one of them won Europa League. Or say
that
like
would still
you know,
make
top,
a difference,
right? But I mean, I think it's. Europa League, I mean, are you guys going to go nuts if you win a Europa League?
No.
At the end of the day,
at
the end of the day, that's still points, though.
Right, but it's not enough to change.
It is. It is. After this year.
What is the coefficient for Europa
League? Okay, so right now, between England has 69 points and Italy has 65. 4 points of that is disappearing because the first year that's included in this was a 4-point difference. So after this year, essentially, Italy and England will have almost the exact same number of points. So regardless, those little points are going to matter at the end of this year.
Right, but how much... So there's only two teams left in Champs League. Say
and there's
all
three
the teams,
teams... And three
right.
teams left in Europa.
Right, but say four Premier League teams get out of the group in Champs League versus two in...
I don't think four will, though.
They will.
I think four will. Man U will probably make it out. I mean,
Chelsea, Man City
will probably make it out. I think City's already qualified.
Arsenal's
the only
team. Okay. Actually, the more I think about it,
and if Chelsea slips up against Kiev, then they're out.
All right, but I mean, so still, there's going to be more teams likely to get out of the group stage than Italy will. That I think is a big enough point
well,
boost.
Well, here's the next question.
Then so, Europa is for four or five teams that got knocked
the
out
other,
of
the other thing to keep in mind, though, is if you get knocked out of round of 16, you're out. I don't think you get knocked down to Europa
right,
so after that.
Like, so let's for a second.
That's
let's,
such a BS
it's,
rule.
It's, no, it's, no, it's I don't weird. Think it is. It well, is. Either because then what
but
would
then
happen is
have,
you would
have
all these ridiculous teams.
Bottom line is none of the Champions League teams should be in Europa League. That's what I think.
I
think that's true.
I think
that's true. I think they should be completely separate.
So that makes a lot of sense to me. So, wow, we're in agreement. No, so let's stop. We can't predict the future. We don't know who's going to get out of the groups. Dave, what do you think? Let's say England somehow lost a spot. Would that change the way you think of their competitiveness in the world?
Right. So, you know, I said I'm a Man U fan. I don't think I root intentionally for England teams or intentionally against them. You know, I just, depending on the matchups, I like to see good matchups. So Real Madrid, PSG, great matchup. If I was a Barcelona fan, you know, maybe it would have been different. I would have rooted against Real Madrid. You know, you said you were kind of, you know, you didn't really
this game
know.
I was still all PSG.
But I mean, I think I'm just kind of either way. I mean,
but, it, you know, but just look at your year right now. If the year ended right now, you would not be in Champs League if the points changed.
Right. But again, this is, you know, you haven't been in, Milan hasn't been in Champs League for how many years?
Two or three years. Yeah.
So you, I think this actual spots.
I've also won it seven times, just saying.
I'm also the spots. The spots, like you're like getting all desperate about these spots.
Yeah, because it's huge.
If Man U doesn't finish in the top three, it's a bad season.
Yeah, but Champs you say that, but Champs League means a lot of things, especially to Milan right now. How many players did we miss out this summer because we're not in Europe?
Yeah, I know, but if Man U didn't get Europe, you think they would just not be able to get anybody?
If they, like two, three years, didn't get Europe,
is that it, rarely would it get to that case.
I disagree.
Let's be honest. That's what Milan was. They didn't have, maybe they didn't have as much money as United has, but Milan, we're talking about one of the greatest clubs in the world ever. They did have that drop because
whose president decided to go on a
bonga bonga. Yeah. No, but no, I agree. But like since it's been so long, you almost forget how great of a club it was. And I think also Serie A has had a bit of a downturn. They just haven't been as competitive.
Right.
United, if they honestly, I don't love Van Gaal's teams. I'll be honest. And so it's not impossible that they could have. If the Premier League, the top teams were better, if Chelsea was better and City was better, it could be that United would be lower. And my point is, Man United still has that strong, you want to play for United, so right. People will go there. But it's not as strong as it used to be, and it's not impossible. They still have a lot of support, and they have a lot of money, so it's not going to change immediately. But you can't act like Milan wasn't that club not that long.
No, I'm not. And again, I mean, you know, maybe I would say that, but honestly, you know, you're...
No one would have expected Milan to be here. I would never expected Milan would have.
And maybe
this
if
kind
we didn't
draft.
Make Champs League for 2 years, I'd be looking at this as more of a big deal.
Or
but,
if you're not challenging.
I mean, honestly, if three spots isn't enough, like Milan's been so bad for the past couple of years that, I mean, they're struggling to get fourth. I mean, if Man U can't get third or fourth, it's going to suck.
So they don't deserve
to be. But that affects a lot of things. It affects money coming in. Not, I know you have a lot of money coming in anyway, but it also affects who you sign, though. And I think even though Man United's still considered a top club, you haven't won a title in, 2 years now?
I can see.
And not competing in Champs League is a big, big thing for players.
I mean, if you were a player, would you rather go to United or City? City, you could have a much better chance of getting further in Champs. And it's such a weird thing to say because it's Manchester United. They're clearly a bigger club overall. Like, not even close to City. But right now, I don't know. I mean, it's crazy to think that could potentially happen. But I do agree that having Champions League spot is big for players. I think you can ride your coattails of what you did in the past for a while, but you can't do that forever. And we'll see what happens. I mean, basically, I think we all agree that La Liga is the best league in the world, right? I think that's just what it comes out to.
They're the strongest point-wise, for sure, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they have the two of the best teams in the world, I think.
Almost of all time, yeah.
I still think if Atletico was in the Premier League, they would do really, really well.
Yeah.
I
mean,
Super League it is.
Yeah. And you know what? That'll be a topic for another time, because I really want to get into that. But either way, we could talk about for hours on how these compare and how these coefficients are going to work out. But it'll be really interesting to see if these coefficients change. And you know what? As a little side note, I hope in a way that the Premier League loses a spot just so it's kind of lighting a fire under their asses. Because I don't know why they haven't done well recently, but I feel like they need a kick in the butt. But that was a rousing debate, but I think that'll do it for this week. We hope to see you next week. We come every single week, the football podcast, except for a few. I don't know. After the international break, we'll see what happens. But
just bitter after international break.
It's tough. It's tough. But we might actually do it because I think these are the last week of your European qualifiers. So we'll see. But anyway, you can check us out on iTunes.
We'll be back next week either way.
Yeah, we will be back next week. So you can find us, Kiss the Crest, on iTunes. Please rate and subscribe. Hopefully give us 5 stars if you like us. Please comment if you have any opinions, what you want us to talk about. If you want us to talk about Ligue 1 more, La Liga less, just stop listening to the podcast. I'm kidding. And if you want, you can also check us out on thecommentist.com. We also have a bunch of other podcasts on there, like Roll to Hit, The Unwind, The Bearded Vegans. If you're just interested in anything, go check us out on there. And we hope to see you next week.
Thanks.